It's all about newspapers on the programme this week. We speak to a renowned designer and discuss those papers doing just right when it comes to visuals. Plus, a Slovak edition that became a financial success story. Oh, and of course, some Monocle staffers talk us through their favourite dailies too. So wash the print from your fingers and hold the front page. Newspapers in focus today on The Stack. From Midori House in London, this is The Stack, 30 minutes of print industry analysis with me, Tom Edwards. Coming up on the show, a Slovak daily that prides itself on long-form journalism that's a real hit with the public, and we'll talk about some of our favourite newsprint too. Monocle's Fernando Augusto Pacheco is the programme's producer, and he's joining me this week. We couldn't keep you out of the studio, could we, Faye, if we're talking about our love of newsprint here at Midori House?
Especially when he talks about newspaper design. I mean, I think it's essential for a newspaper, Tom.
Indeed. Well, why not then, Faye, introduce our first guest, who is something of an expert on exactly that. Acclaimed newspaper designer Javier Herrera, who helped to co-edit Newspaper Design, editorial design from the world's best newsrooms, a beautiful tome from Gestalten. And I'm delighted to say Javier's here to talk to Fernando and I all about it. Javier, thanks for being on the programme with us and congratulations on Newspaper Design. This is one of the most beautiful books that I've certainly seen on this programme for some time. Tell me a bit about how you and your colleagues at Gestalten actually worked out what you wanted to include. How did you decide what was the story that you wanted to tell?
I would say that this is kind of a tribute to print newspapers, specifically in this digital era. I felt like this was the proper time to do it, because after so many years, myself and other colleagues working with print newspapers, time to think about all we did in the past, what we achieved, how the future could be, right? So the most difficult part here was to select projects, because we had a clear idea of going deeper into 10, for instance, study cases around the world, how we can learn, what we can learn from them. But in addition, I was particularly interested in providing a broad view about what news design means in the end, specifically in this digital era, along with other voices from experts. So it was kind of a mix, combining essays, views, study cases, and deep profiles about five prominent designers, news designers around the world as well. So trying to reach as many people as possible.
Do you think the big publishers and the small publishers as well are paying more attention to design when it comes to newspapers? Do you think this is something they are paying more attention these days, or is it something that has always been there in some way or another?
We are living really difficult times for newspapers and the news industry, as you can imagine. I would say that the design marvelous era ended. It's a little bit disappointed to say that opinion, but now we live the, I would say, some kind of effectiveness. I mean, we have to be efficient more than quality. It's difficult to say that, but the editors are not particularly now interested in design at all. I mean, they are interested in surviving mostly. I can't remember 10, 20 years ago when the design was really on top of the interests and designers work together with reporters and editors at the same level. I'm not sure anymore if this is happening now, except from some top newspapers such as the New York Times or the Guardian and other really strong players in the field. I'm a little bit skeptical about the future, sorry to say.
well, just on that point, Javier, I wonder, it used to be certainly for many designers, editorial designers, that newspapers were viewed as, you know, a marquee project. That was the pinnacle that many wanted to get to. In this world, which is increasingly digital, is that still the case? Is it viewed in that same way as a prestige play anymore? Or do you worry that actually that maybe the next generation of great designers will kind of step over newspapers altogether and just be looking at other forums? Is that a worry?
I'm not sure. I mean, you are speaking about prestige, which is interesting. I would say that the conversation is about efficiency, how to reach people, the audience, much more than being visually excellent, I would say that. And among our colleagues, design is less and less on top of the conversation. But video, of course, is on top of the conversation instead. I would say that most of the basics from the print we are applying on digital as well. I mean, the basics are the same. I can see more simple and application apps or digital newspapers, magazines, instead of complicated ones. I mean, simplicity is the big issue right now. Right? How to reach people, how to be understandable, how to be fast. This is the thing.
Javier, it's funny that, you know, we can be skeptical, but I have to be honest, when I was reading your book, I did feel actually quite positive because, you know, there are, you know, incredible examples of newspapers that redesign, as you've mentioned before, the New York Times. So which kind of papers, or even if you like to say about countries, that are doing well when it comes to newspaper design?
Maybe I sound really skeptical, but this is my personality. So sorry about that. I mean, maybe I'm not being fair. I strongly believe in newspapers. I work with them for the moment, and hopefully I will be working with them for many years. So it's like a kind of self-critique. But apart from that, there are many, many newspapers that, as you said, are doing good in many countries. Of course, we can mention the great ones, as I said, New York Times and other good players like the Washington Post or the Guardian. I would prefer to mention other countries not so well known. I love Portugal. I would focus on Portuguese press. I don't know why. They produce fantastic newspapers, both print and digital. I would like to mention Expresso, which is a weekly, like The Observer or Die Zeit in Germany. I would like to mention Publico, which is a fantastic morning daily, or E-Journal, but also in countries like Argentina, you have La Nación, which is an amazing newspaper, conservative, classic, typical Brexit from the past, but more and more engaged to new techniques, data analysis, visualizations, etc. So I love those two countries specifically.
Javier, I wanted to ask a bit about the need to be disruptive. I know that's a bit of a cliche word these days, but as a designer, how do you need to marry up, on one hand, the idea of being proficient, of being efficient, of being professionally sort of qualified and capable, with the other hand, this much more creative idea, this idea of changing things up, going off grid, mixing it up a little? Do you think that for a great designer, those two influences are kind of in opposition? Is it about balancing between them, or is that not a fair way to characterize it?
This is a big issue because all the time when I arrive at a newspaper, the thing is how far we can go, right? The most important thing in any project, and specifically with the design, is to respect what I call the soul of the publication, the deep soul of the publication. If you respect this soul, if you are engaged to history, to the audience, to all the things behind, and you are respectful, you are humble, then you can take as many risks as you want. I mean, and I agree, the thing is how to balance both history, soul, with experimentation, which is in most of the cases not just interesting but essential to take risks and to get people involved in this kind of evolution, I would say, all the time, right?
And Javier, I also like to know, you know, for the listeners that don't know much about your work, I mean, you also, of course, you've worked in newspaper design. You know, tell us a bit about some of the titles that you've worked during your career.
My background is journalistic. I'm a journalism graduate here in Spain. I worked as a reporter and editor for quite many years before turning into the visual area, right? And this is something that many people ask me about. I mean, why did you leave writing, reporting, and went into the visual thing? I don't have any clear answer, but what I can say is that this journalistic experience, my background, has let me understand much better journalists and to live easier in a newsroom. This is quite typical in my country, in Spain. I mean, many or most of the designers come from the journalism area. This is not usual in other countries. So starting from this point of view, which is essential in my career, I can mention some really iconic projects where I'm very proud and happy to say that I work with, specifically papers like Libération in France, in Paris, which is an amazing paper, all the time in trouble, economic trouble, as you know. But it's like a school of visual journalism. I mean, I learned a lot from Libé when I was a university student, and I couldn't imagine that I finally could work with them twice in 2009 and 2015. It was a privilege to share all the things there. Other interesting projects I've developed in my career are The Independent in London, for instance, which is another iconic paper and one of my ever references in my life. I reached The Independent in a very difficult moment in 2011, and it was a really fast and strange project. I'm very proud about all that project. It was quite misunderstood among colleagues. I have heard and attended some congresses or conferences where colleagues of mine did critique very strongly my project, but I'm very proud of what we tried. Other papers specifically, I work in South America, in Argentina, Mexico, for instance, but also in India or Dubai. And this is something really interesting, how to deal with non-Western languages. In these cases, I have to recognize that first you have to listen and try to respect those cultures, which are really different from ours. What I can say is I've been working in five continents through more than 20 years, which is quite a history.
It is indeed, Javier. And our paths may have crossed slightly at the Independent, as you mentioned, during that turbulent period in its history, which is interesting. A story for another day, perhaps. Just on that point about your exposure to all these different markets, are there certain truths in great design for newspapers which are held to be the case wherever in the world you are? Are there universals, I guess, is the question I'm asking. And I wonder, is that also true of the clients? Are there projects that are always good or always bad? Can you tell wherever you are in the world? Are there little markers you look for?
Yes, I think there are some really universal clues. I mean, legibility and order are, I would say, the two top things you have to have in mind all the time. Legibility and order, or clarity, which is the same. I mean, some kind of natural sense of reading. This is really important for me, and it's one of my permanent ideas in mind. I mean, how to be silent in terms of design, because I really reject this kind of what I call the fireworks design. That kind of design that wants to be prominent all the time, and trying to attract attention, and this is not good design for me. Design should be silent and let content shine all the time, right? This is universal, no matter if you are working with the Malayala Manorama in Kerala, in India, or if you're working with El Universal in Mexico, or in Brazil, or even in Bulgaria. I mean, all the time people, clients demand this kind of legibility, order, and respect. To have this in mind is crucial. And during my career, I could say that in many occasions, projects have been conceived to win awards, S&D or any other professional organization awards, right? This is not good for me.
Thanks, Javier. That's Javier Herrera, and Newspaper Design, Editorial Design from the World's Best Newsrooms, is out now, published by Gestalten. It's a thing of beauty, Fernando, and it's interesting how many of our favourites, regular papers that we always come back to here on the Stack and just in conversations around the Monocle offices, are featured in there. He certainly knows a thing or two.
Absolutely. And I mean, and the book is impressive as well. If you like good visuals, good, impressive front pages, I think you should go and buy it.
Indeed. Wise advice. We're off to Slovakia next on the Stack. For a country of just 5.4 million people, Slovakia certainly has a very crowded newspaper market. But the independent daily, Denik N, has managed to carve out a real niche for itself. A financial success story. It's got some of the best journalists in the country, but it doesn't do daily news, really, focusing instead on long-form investigative pieces and strong opinion. Monocle's Alexei Korialov went to visit the paper in Bratislava.
We have one newsroom and people in the newsroom are producing the digital and print content. I mean, actually, we produce for web first, and as everything is behind the paywall, the best articles we publish during the day, we then print in the print daily. So there are no two different teams.
I'm in the offices of the Slovak daily paper Dennik N in Bratislava. And with me is its editor-in-chief, Matuš Kostolny.
To everybody, to every reporter, every morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, they receive an email with the data coming from our subscription system.
The N stands for Nezavislost, or independence. And the paper's journalists are among some of the most trusted in the country. 4 years ago, most of them, including Matuš himself, were employed at Slovakia's biggest paper, Denník SME. But then something happened.
In summer of 2014, I realized that the German co-publisher of the paper I used to work for, they're going to sell their 50% of shares to Slovak financial group called Penta. And this Penta group was involved in the biggest political scandal in Slovakia. They were like a symbol of corruption and political interference in Slovakia. So I realized that I don't want to work for them, and I announced to my publisher that I'll leave. And to my surprise, 50% of the newsroom, so more than 50 people, left with me.
Matuš and his team set about conceptualizing a new kind of broadsheet newspaper. And by January 2015, they were all set and ready to go. From the outset, they decided to do things differently.
We realized that we don't want to be dependent on money coming from an oligarch or somebody who would be willing to pay for journalism. We don't want to be dependent on money coming from advertisement because it's also tricky and it's kind of dangerous. We started with our own paywall. We were trying to explain to our readers, future readers, we are dependent only on them, and without their support, we will be not able to run the paper.
And it's working so far.
Yeah, and it's working. I mean, after 3 years, we're profitable. We started with, let's say, 8,000 subscribers. Now we have 27,000 subscribers. The last year, we ended with a small profit, and this year it looks that we'll be profitable. We are able to hire new people, and we invest the money into journalism.
But when you say subscribers, you mean digital subscribers?
A majority of them are digital. We have some print subscribers, but to be honest, we decided to run the paper because we thought, okay, so there are still 10,000 of people in Slovakia who buy print editions of newspapers, so why should we not try to offer them the content we produce? And we knew that the print edition is the best marketing tool we have because we'll be on kiosks and people will read it. We didn't think that the print copy will be the base of our business.
Doing things differently also meant focusing on more long-form journalism and avoiding news items altogether.
In 2015 or 2018, there is no sense to pretend that somebody is reading yesterday's football results from the paper. I mean, everybody knows it from radio or television or from his mobile phone.
Yeah.
It's still cool to have a print copy in your hands. It's a different feeling than to read it on your mobile phone or on a computer. But there is no reason to run news stories in it because the moment you distribute the paper to the people, they already know it. So we're trying to run stories which don't die during the night when the paper is printed.
Mm. Well, we have a couple of copies before us.
Yeah.
So this is not today, this is from last week, yeah?
This is today's issue, but it's a special issue because today is the anniversary of the Soviet invasion in Czechoslovakia.
Yeah.
So that's a special issue. It's 24 pages only about the anniversary, and it's full of black and white pictures from this year, 68. And so, but you can still see the logic of the paper, that it's huge pictures because we believe that a nice picture, it's one of the reasons why I should read the paper. I mean, the feeling of the unique design. And long articles, so that was one article on four pages, another article, double page, the whole paper is like that. But normally you would see paper like this, is there is a magazine cover page, we run one story on our front page because we believe that's the story of the day and we have to run it. And then we do a lot of politics. We have our own cartoon, which is very popular in Slovakia. We do a lot of opinion pieces. Mm-hmm. So, and then we do culture, like every day on two pages. When we started, we didn't have sport page because we didn't have good reporters on sports. Mm. Now we found these people and we run also sports. So that would be like an average paper. And
yeah, yeah.
One of the biggest stories to come out of Slovakia this year was the murder of investigative reporter Jan Kuciak in February. For Matas, this was a watershed moment, but it also served to highlight just how independent Denník N was.
I mean, today is the half-year anniversary of the murder of Jan Kuciak, the investigative reporter, the young investigative reporter here in Slovakia. Before that killing, I felt completely secure as a journalist here in Slovakia. That was the reason why it was such a shock for us that it's possible also in Slovakia to kill a journalist, and probably because of his work. So, I mean, I think Slovakia is a country with free press. I feel completely free. To be honest, this paper is a proof for that. It doesn't mean that there are no pressures and that the politicians are not trying to push on media. That's the thing we are facing almost daily. Until the murder of Jan Kuciak, I would say it's a part of normal discussion between politicians and journalists, but I feel free.
For Monocle in Bratislava, I'm Alexei Korolov.
Thanks, Alexei. And Faye, yeah, you're still with me in the studio. Interesting that, you know, there's a real success story there. You can do long form, you can do opinion. It's not just, even in the sort of daily space, it's not just about reacting to the demands of the, you know, the fast-moving news cycle. I think that's interesting. And that kind of picks up on things like, I think with, the, say, the Monocle Weekly papers as well that we do, that are really interesting for us.
Yeah, and it's fascinating, especially looking at Slovakia, you know, such a, you know, tiny country, but they have so many titles. I mean, they have quite a healthy kind of, you know, especially, you know, they still like print, you know, newspapers, and I think Denník N is an example of that.
Well, indeed. Let's continue to cast our net around globally on this newsprint-focused edition of The Stag. You were busy canvassing opinions here in Midori House, weren't you, Fernando? You wanted to ask Monocle staffers about their favourite dailies. Always a fun assignment. Any surprises in the mix? We're going to hear from a few of them in a moment.
No, absolutely. And to be honest, actually, as soon as I asked, you know, our guests, you know, Paige, Chiara and Carlotta, they knew straight away, you know, because I think people have generally love affair with their newspapers. Mm. You know, I don't think you need to think too much when you say what's your favorite paper. It's something that you've been reading, you know, I don't know, since you're very young, at least with me. But, you know, they gave us, I do like some of them, I have to be honest.
Let's take a listen to what some of our colleagues here at Midori House had to say.
Hello, I'm Carlotta Rubello and I'm a producer here at Monocle 24. The newspaper of my choice is Publico from my home country, Portugal. I decided to pick this newspaper because it has always been the leader when it comes to stories on foreign affairs and diplomacy. There's really no newspaper like it in the rest of the country. It's also really beautifully designed and it has been going on for a while, so it's always nice to see a newspaper with a fresh and new approach but still unpacking some of the heavier topics of the week.
I'm Chiara Romella, I'm Monocle's culture editor, and as an Italian, my favourite newspaper is definitely La Repubblica. It was a newspaper that we always used to read at home when I was a child growing up, and I think they've done an amazing job at redesigning the paper quite recently, which has kind of turned it from a 6-column grid to a 5-column grid. It's very much vertically inclined, much easier to read now. They've also created a new font called Eugenio in honour of the original founder, Eugenio Scalfari, who still is one of the most important figures of the intellectual left in Italy. And La Repubblica just does an amazing job at always being really true to its founding principles as one of the papers that held Berlusconi to account the most during his long years of government. So I guess that's the reason why it's a very important part of the Italian media landscape.
My name's Paige and I'm a researcher at Monocle 24. So the newspaper I'm choosing is taking on an enormously difficult and frankly quite dangerous task, and that is Russian newspaper Novaya Gazeta, which every Monday, Wednesday and Friday provides investigative reports free from censorship, and a censorship which pervades the state-sponsored news organisations. So whether that be expos on the sunken Kursk submarine, the hostage-taking in the Moscow theatre on Dubrovka, or the school shooting in Beslan, Novaya Gazeta is not afraid to tell things exactly how they are and expose events that are often covered up or have their narratives sort of altered by Kremlin officials. Sometimes that's come at quite a cost. Six of Novaya Gazeta's journalists have been murdered or killed in suspicious circumstances since 2001. The most well-known of these was Anna Politkovskaya, who was reporting on Chechnya and shot outside her apartment in 2006. But the publication has also won a number of awards, recently a Pulitzer Prize for its role in the global investigative project on the Panama Papers. And it has a pretty bright future. It's still going in Russia, and logically it shouldn't. So I'd recommend a browse.
There you go. A few thoughts from our colleagues here in Monocle HQ. Faye, what about your favourites? I guess regular listeners across all of Monocle 24 will know you have a certain affinity with the big newspaper published from your hometown in Brazil, of course. Is that top of the tree for you?
That's very true, Tom. It's Folha de São Paulo. And it's interesting. I mean, I do have to mention here that the editor-in-chief of the paper, you know, died this week as well. So it's quite sad news, because he was the man responsible to change the paper since he became the editor back in 1984. But I love Folha. I mean, I remember I got as a gift subscription when I was about 11, 12 years old. And I've been reading daily since. Of course, I can get hold of a printed copy here in the UK, but I do check it online. I'm a subscriber to the digital version, which I was against in the beginning, but I have to open my mind a little bit.
It's interesting, this idea of lifelong love stories with newsprint in particular, and I think those formative experiences, whether it's a subscription or what you would see your parents reading, is really interesting. We were hearing from Javier earlier in the programme, and great newspaper design is obviously something we've been keeping in sharp focus. The National Post, Faye, for me, is always one. It's featured in Javier's book, of course, that I always think just gets the balance exactly right between challenging convention but doing great newspaper design well. It's always unmistakable. You know, obviously, it has its sort of big yellow sidebar on the front page.
I like that.
Always
sidebar.
Unmistakably National Post, and yet they're not afraid to mix it up. And I think that speaks to great confidence, both on the design side and in the editorial side. You know, they'll sometimes do some really offbeat leads, and it always feels just about right. And I think that's a hard trick to pull off.
It's so, a very, very good choice, Tom. And what about the British ones? Do you have a kind of a favourite?
Well, obviously, you know, I was allegedly a newspaper man back in the day. I mentioned talking to Javier about my time at The Independent, which I always had a certain fondness, at least for the sort of fearlessness and, again, the willingness to mix things up. They were the first broadsheet to go tabloid. They had a lot of campaigning journalism that they did. And they were pretty bold visually. It wasn't always the most robust business model, which is perhaps a different story. But I also like the very kind of austere, venerable newspaper, a lot of the big German titles that are kind of absolutely unafraid to stick with what they've been doing for, you know, a century or more. Which, and there's something about that that appeals to me as well.
I like the big broadsheets as well. I think, of course, it's a bit difficult when you're in the public transport, but there's nothing better when you're at home and you just open a page of a cup of tea or coffee,
exactly,
or whatever you like.
Well, it's like the big Sunday supplements.
Exactly.
What's better than that? Sharing the sections out or fighting over them in your household, depending how it goes. That is just about all we have time for then on this newsprint-focused edition of The Stack. Thanks to Fernando Augusto Pacheco for his production smarts. And, of course, thanks to our editors behind the glass, Cassie Galpin and George McDonough. Comments or queries are welcome, or why not drop a line to us to tell us what your favourite newsprint is. You can get in touch with Fernando at fp@monocle.com. Right, that's all we have time for. But before we go, as per our new tradition, we've got a bit of music for you. This is from Slovak superstar Marika Gombitova, because we were there a little earlier. This takes us back to 1987, and the song is Vob Dobi Dajdia, During the Rain. Enjoy it.